Good afternoon, and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. Hardyman Reviews. I am Adam. On a rainy Friday, Friday's got out early from work, so I'm going to see Oppenheimer today because rather than go yesterday, and I explained this a few times across various episodes of Beware of Spoilers, Thursday night, 3 hours of movie after working all day. Not exactly my definition of, you know, a good time. So you just have to get up early the next day to get to work when I can get to do Friday. And last night I saw Theater Camp, which was disappointing. And here we are now going to see Oppenheimer. That said, that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we're here to talk about today, and I apologize about the noise. It's a little loud because I have my air conditioner on. But it's 81 degrees and raining. We're here to talk about some news that's happened in the last 24 to 48 hours that I think is worth addressing because it pertains to the strike and it pertains to how the studios are turning the screws on the, on viewers. So like, there have been a few delays, and I think that Passengers getting delayed into April of next year is a little bit strange. Is it Passengers, the name of that movie? The movie with Zendaya, where she gets, oh good lord in heaven. The movie with Zendaya, where she gets into a three-way with the two tennis players. She's also a tennis player. I saw that trailer once a few weeks ago, before our movie, and that was the takeaway. And that movie got delayed, Luca Guadagnino's new movie. And there's also the delay, we got a new trailer for the Marvels yesterday. Let's quickly talk about that. The Marvels is still slated for November 10th, which there could be some release date shuffling going on, which would be better for the Marvels. Not good for Peter and the movie draft. But it would be good for the Marvels, and for Disney if that happened. Because Disney's not had a great year so far, financially at the box office. I mean, look, let's be real. Like, you know, Quantumania turned a profit, Little Mermaid turned a profit. Not huge profits, but they turned profits nonetheless. So far for them, their biggest win at the box office was, Guardians 3, and then, you know, I don't think Haunted Mansion is going to do a ton, but it is what it is. So Disney has not had the best year so far. So they need the Marvels to be a big win this year. Although I think for the Walt Disney Company, it's technically in 2024 for their fiscal year. Because it was a similar question that happened with the Eternals. It was like, oh, it's going to be a big winner for 2024. And it was on an earnings call. So a bunch of news sites were like, it's getting delayed. Eternals getting delayed 2024. And it's like, no, you dumb fucks. It is, it's a fiscal year, not a calendar year. But regardless, the big thing that, you know, with this trailer, is that the movie looks great. And I love the new poster. The poster has a real Charlie's Angels kind of vibe to it, in the best way possible, which I know there is no good way to say that, considering the checkered history of, the checkered history of, Charlie's Angels at the box office. It feels like that. That poster. I do appreciate that. The trailer looks really good. It looks like a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that movie quite a bit. I think that trailer sells me on that movie more than either Guardians trailer really did. But not quite as much as the Quantumania trailer did. So, do with that what you will. Because, that trailer where Ant-Man, or where Scott's fighting Kang, and Kang is just, curb stomping his ass. I saw a trailer, and I think if you go back and look at the episode, I was like, this movie is gonna be 2 hours of Scott Lang just getting his ass kicked up and down this movie, and I'm here for that. And then it wasn't that. It didn't do quite enough. Even though the trailer was pretty sick. And I think that the trailer for the Marvels is pretty good. But a lot of the footage is kind of the same, down to the big shock thing. I mean, we talked about it before. The last thing you see before, you know, trailers are now made with social media in mind. The last thing we see before the end of the trailer is the exact same thing from the middle of the first trailer, and it's like, okay, I guess. I love the Mar-Vell suit, though. I want to know what context she ends up in that suit, but she's got that one suit that looks like the original Captain Marvel, and I love that. I love the costume design for Monica. I love the costume design, minus the face. I would have preferred they had the face mask on, but I get why she's not wearing the face mask, because they're in fucking space. She doesn't need to keep her identity really a secret, because, like, who the fuck knows who Kamala Khan is outside of Jersey City? So, like, that seemed really cool. And I love this idea of them, the three of them teaming up. And I like that here it seems a lot more willing that they're teaming up and a lot less begrudging. And I think that that's a good way to handle this movie, more than it being begrudging and not having Carol want to deal with it. And I think that it feels like it is answering a lot of the problems that people had with Captain Marvel. And if you take away those things, what's left to criticize, which I think is doing a lot to kind of curb the incel rage that exists when you have a movie headlined by women. I think it's going to do a lot to help out. I'm looking forward to this one a lot. That said, it's slated for release on November 10th. The week before that, Warner Bros. Has a major release in Dune Part 2, which I'm also very much looking forward to. And then the week after that, Lionsgate has a major release in the form of The Hunger Games, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, the prequel about Snow. All of that is on the calendar as it is. A report dropped yesterday that Warner Brothers is considering delaying their entire 2023 release slate into next year. Not their entire, just the movies in the very end of the year, in November and December, because the movies that are listed are The Color Purple, which is designed to be an awards-generating movie. It's an Oscar movie, so it would benefit greatly from having the cast go out and do PR. And then there's also Dune Part 2, and there's a third one. Aquaman was the other one listed, not Wonka, Aquaman. And I think that what we're looking at here is it's an attempt by Warner Brothers to turn public opinion against the strike. And what I mean by that is, by saying this, they're saying, look, if we can't reach a deal, we're going to have to delay these movies, number one. Number two, it's a way to try and demoralize striking actors and writers who are currently without pay as a result of the strike. Because if nothing is shooting, nothing is being written, no one is getting paid. So by saying that, look, if we're going to, you know, do this, if the strike goes on, we're going to have to delay these movies. And what that's saying is not just that this, we're gonna do that. But it's also saying, you know, we don't think this strike is gonna be, you know, done in time for October, in the case of Dune Part 2, or November for, Color Purple. So the issue becomes, you know, how do we deal with that? Like, it's an attempt to demoralize. That's what it is. And what we need is the trades to stop running these anonymous stories. The trades need to stop running these anonymous stories. And when I say the trades, I mean Variety, I mean Deadline, I mean The Hollywood Reporter, I mean Entertainment Weekly. These major, quote-unquote, newspapers of record that exist within the entertainment industry. They are the ones that industry people look to for key information about who's doing what and where. So when they're reporting, like, oh, they're debating moving all these movies back, it's purely a PR thing, designed to get the, you know, the people at the, you know, who are impacted by the strike to turn against the Screen Actors Guild and all of that, and get them to give a better deal. And let's not forget, the way this works is, and it has historically worked, is the press has a vested interest in keeping the studios happy. This is not just limited to the entertainment industry. It is also in sports, which, I mean, also entertainment, but it you know, they have a vested interest in keeping the studios happy. Because the studios are the ones who give access to screeners. The studios are the ones who give access to actors and actresses to do PR for the movies. And that, in turn, helps the press do their job. Because then they can be like, oh, look, I have this thing. And considering how the internet economy for, you know, for the press is designed at this point, like, it is, you know, you have to... What the fuck is this guy doing on the wrong way? Like, considering how that is set up, you need engagement. And if you're not getting that, you're not getting engagement. Then we know it. Because we don't have interviews with people, and we don't do as well as some of the companies that do have interviews with people. So they have a vested interest in helping the studios get the deal they want. Which is why the framing of the conversation around A24 being allowed to continue is so weird. It's, oh, they're giving waivers to A24 to continue shooting. That's not accurate. It's called a waiver, but when you say they're giving him a waiver, what it means is A24, which is a studio that is a lot smaller than Disney, than Warner Brothers, than Universal, than Paramount, than Searchlight, than all these other major, you know, companies, Lionsgate, like, they are capitulating to the demands of SAG, and they are signing an interim agreement. So what it is, it's an interim agreement that waives the obligation of SAG members to strike and allows them to work with it, but they call it a waiver because that sounds like it's not being, you know, it's just, oh, they're letting this go through. You know, it's a small thing. Not, this small studio is agreeing to these demands. So I do have a bit of a problem with the way these stories are being covered. And it's all just an attempt to demoralize, to keep things back, and to try and keep, you know, these big companies happy. And I think that it's a fundamental problem. It's biased reporting at its finest, because it's all about what can we do to keep one side of the negotiation happy. And if you can't keep one side of the negotiation happy, then that's not fair and you know, not say fair and balanced, because a certain company kind of ran that into the ground, but it's not fair reporting to an issue that is very much, there are two sides to this. There's the human side and there's the corporate side, and you're openly taking the side of the corporate side. And therein lies a problem. So when I see that Warner Brothers is like, oh, maybe we're going to delay Dune, maybe we're going to delay The Color Purple, maybe we're going to delay Aquaman, what it's telling me is they have no plan to actually negotiate and actually deal with it. And I think a lot of this comes from the fact that a lot of these corporations are now in, you know, entrenched in what is essentially the tech industry. And the tech industry is not used to dealing with unionized workers. So they're like, fine, we'll let them starve, and then when that goes under, we'll find a new way to do this that doesn't involve a union. And that's what a lot of these negotiation tactics are. We talked about it a little bit, how a lot of these negotiation, you know, points that they're offering up are tantamount to union busting. Because we talked about, you know, what's it called? We talked about how, what was it called? Like the WGA. No, it was SAG. SAG had this with the background actors, where it's like if you go in, you can get scanned and then you use the background actor forever without being compensated. And it is, well, then the problem with that is the background actors who make up a good amount of the guild won't be able to get work because either they're being used, you know, without getting paid, or they're being, you know, or they can't get work to get in because AI just replaced them. But either way, you are getting around the, you know, you're getting around, you're going to reduce membership to the point that it's untenable. And then there was the counter offer, quote unquote, that was given, not officially, but a guy who was a former executive at a studio was like, well, why don't the largest actors, you know, take pay cuts too. And it's like, well, because if the larger actors take pay cuts too, it cuts the amount of income going into the union in the form of dues and in the form of, you know, percentages that go in there, which will also harm the membership. And then also, it does both sides help the AMPTP, because then what happens is the AMPTP doesn't have to pay as much to match. So it's all designed to help them while hurting the other side, while making it seem like, oh, well, we're negotiating, we're offering these other things. It's not the case. So, at the end of the day, what we're looking at here is this is a coordinated effort to end the strike with a favorable outcome to the AMPTP, which also provides a situation where, you know, we could end up in a situation where the entertainment industry as we know it doesn't exist in 5 years. Because that's the thing about technology. We talk about, like, oh, well, right now we don't have AI that can, you know, write a script and have it be good. We don't have that right now. And, you know, you're right. If you use PseudoWrite, which, again, if you're a writer and you use PseudoWrite, how dare you? Because all you're doing is you're contributing to your own, to the demise of your own industry. But if you use PseudoWrite and you write a, and you use that to write a novel, or you use that to write a screenplay, or you use ChatGPT or something else and you write a screenplay with it, it's not good. There are issues. The dialogue doesn't sound natural. Stage directions don't make sense, and it's, you know, the plot will be very formulaic because it is designed to take a formula and do that. But here's the thing: say you have a long-running TV show, say you have an SUV or SVU, long rider SVU, been on the air for 22 years. You can feed it 22 years of scripts. 22 years times 24 episodes a season, let's say, on average, and get, and say, okay, write me a script about the Go-Go Beast killer getting captured, and it would be able to do that. And then you can hire one or two writers to touch it up, and then there you go. And that's right now. If you say 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, what will that look like? You don't know. So a prohibition on that should be in place, because we don't know where that could go. And if you think the writing is, if you're someone who's like, oh, because I've seen a lot of this where it's like, oh, well, they want to get paid more for their writing, but the writing's been shit. And it's like, okay, if you think it's shit now, wait until the shit is being used by an algorithm to create more shit, and then it's derivative shit. So you really shouldn't want AI to write if you think the writing is shit now. If you think the writing is shit now, you should want it so that way more people can get into the industry, which is what they're trying to do, the WGA. Like, what they're doing now is they're making it untenable for anyone who's not already wealthy or coming from connections getting in. They're pulling the ladder up so more people can't get in. What you should want is more accessibility. More voices getting in. Because the more voices get in, the more things will sound different. And you'll get more chances for something great. Instead of it being the same seven things over and over again. If you're someone who's complaining about, oh, look at all the IP in movie theaters. Look at all, everything's a sequel or a reboot or some, or a big franchise movie. If that's something that you are, if you complain about that, then you should want more availability of stuff to come in. But we'll wrap up there for today. We're not saying boycott, because the WGA and SAG have not said boycott. They haven't done that yet. And if they do say boycott, we will try to exist within the terms of said boycott. Which, again, I'm not 100% certain they are going to do that. But if they do, we're going to try and stay within that realm. And if, you know, if it would create harm to us, we will reach out and see what they say. Because obviously we want to stay within the guidelines of helping out the, you know, helping out the, what's it called? Helping out the union as much as possible. That said, we are going to be seeing Oppenheimer. About 15 minutes, I'll be sitting down to see it. And then we'll be talking about Oppenheimer later today over on Beware Spoilers. tomorrow we'll be talking about My Adventures with Superman and they cloned Tyrone. If not tomorrow, we'll be doing that on Sunday. I gotta watch that movie still. And we will be talking about that at some point over the weekend. And the same goes for Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And I feel like there was another show too. Maybe I'm forgetting. Either way, we'll figure it out. All that's over, I'm Beware of Spoilers. And until our next episode, which will probably be next week at some point, have a great rest of your week. Oh, and one more thing before we wrap up about these delays. I just thought of this. I think it's a bluff from Warner Brothers. I do. Because all of what I said before, but the thing is, look at their earnings this year. Look at how poorly the movies have done at the box office this year. Look at, you know, Blue Beetle is coming out in a month, a little under a month, and it's not going to do more than 23. I saw estimates it's going to open under 20 million opening weekend. And it's $75 million, or a $95 million movie. It may not make back its budget. Look at, you know, Shazam Fury of the Gods. That movie was an absolute financial failure. Look at The Flash. The Flash, I think, currently has the record for biggest financial flop in the history of cinema, financially. And all of that, and then on top of that, it's like, well, Aquaman may not make money. Even if it does come out, Barbie is going to make them a good amount of money. Barbie is doing very well so far. It's at the highest preview night of the summer. But again, that's not enough to offset everything they've lost so far. So if they're going to do that, and they're going to say, oh, we're going to delay our movies into next year, if I'm a shareholder, I'm like, what the fuck? So right now, you're not producing anything. And then on top of that, you're not releasing anything either. What the fuck are you doing? And you want to see Warner Brothers stock fall off a cliff to the point where if a few of us get together, we can buy it and own the company. Like, continue on this path. Like, therein lies the problem. And I think it's a sizable problem at that. So I think they're bluffing. I think it is just a bluff to try and get people to turn on SAG and the WGA. Because then, you know, go ahead, do it. Because that's the thing, too, is that it's like, it's not like that's the kind of thing that's going to make people turn. It's going to be like, so what? So because you guys won't negotiate, we are, you know, we can't see these movies now? Like, what the fuck? Like, you guys won't go to the table because you're being petulant children and you're going to say we can't watch these movies now? That's not going to help your case. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand the PR, like, the move on that front. It's like when they put out the statement, like some anonymous insider right before the SAG strike started said they aren't going to renegotiate with WGA for a few months still because their plan is to just wait it out and wait for the writers to start, you know, to start defaulting on their mortgages and losing their apartments and getting evicted from their apartments. And it's like, so this is a good PR move on your part then. This is, you think this is going to make you look good. To be clear, this is going to make you look good. And you're going to go to deadline with this and be like, look at how genius we are. And it's like, so you're not negotiating in good faith. Like, it's just stupid is what it is. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, you can sit here and you can act like, you know, oh, they're all millionaires. And it's like, they're not. And I think that's the thing, too, is they're underestimating how many members of SAG and how many members of the WGA are already working second, third jobs to be able to live. And then that is, it is the, you know, the, from, what was that show, Arrested Development, how much could a banana cost? $10? That's what it reminds me of. It's, they have no concept of money, and no concept of how much, you know, they were preparing for this. You obviously weren't. And on that note, we'll wrap up there for tonight. And until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.